Have you ever had a colleague whose mere presence made your stomach knot with anxiety? Or a boss whose toxic behavior left you dreading Monday mornings? You're not alone. Workplace jerks aren't just annoying. They're dangerous to your health, career, and well-being. In the Asshole Survival Guide, Stanford professor Robert Sutton draws from over 8,000 personal stories to offer practical strategies for surviving toxic people. The evidence is alarming. When Israeli doctors were insulted during procedures, their diagnostic accuracy plummeted by 50%. Surgeons make significantly more mistakes after experiencing rudeness. The financial toll is staggering, $23.8 billion annually in the U.S. alone, while the health impacts include anxiety, depression, and even increased risks of heart disease. Most troubling is how contagious this behavior becomes. A single toxic team member can reduce group performance by 30-40%, creating a downward spiral that poisons entire organizations. This isn't just about comfort, it's about survival. Before developing survival strategies, assess your situation accurately. Cultural and organizational norms create differences in acceptable behavior. Duration matters enormously. Brief encounters cause momentary distress, while persistent exposure creates cumulative damage that's harder to overcome. The distinction between temporary and certified assholes is crucial. Everyone has bad days, but certified assholes display persistent patterns of demeaning behavior. Systemic problems are particularly dangerous. One European professor described his university as an airport for assholes, where even civilized faculty became infected. Power dynamics dramatically affect your options. Powerless assholes pose little threat, while petty tyrants with modest authority can make life miserable. Most dangerous are the grin fuckers, who smile to your face but undermine you behind your back. Finally, assess your suffering honestly. If you're experiencing physical symptoms or declining performance, more extreme action may be necessary. Despite the winners never quit mantra, quitting is often the smartest response to toxic situations. Over 50% of rudeness victims choose some form of exit, and employees with abusive supervisors are more likely to leave. Those trapped with toxic bosses experience depression and emotional exhaustion. Yet many remain, believing their work is too important, feeling obligated to protect colleagues, or hoping to overcome their tormentors. Asshole blindness prevents many from recognizing their situation's severity due to habituation or the sunk cost fallacy. Escaping doesn't necessarily mean leaving your organization. Even within terrible companies, toxic and terrific teams can vary significantly. Forward-thinking companies like Salesforce allow internal transfers without requiring permission from current managers. It's better to avoid jerks initially than escape them later. Develop awareness by observing how they treat subordinates, their talking-to-listening ratio, and whether they constantly criticize others. When complete escape isn't possible, limit the frequency, duration, and intensity of exposure to toxic people. University of Toronto researcher Katie DeSells advises, don't engage with crazy. Physical distance provides powerful protection. MIT research shows people communicate 4 times more frequently with colleagues sitting 6 feet away versus 60 feet away. Proximity still determines interaction frequency, even in our digital age. Ducking can help when avoidance is impossible, like the vice president who minimized office time to avoid an abusive owner who would scream and yell every day. A doctoral student with an abusive advisor developed a rhythm method, responding increasingly slowly to demeaning emails, which trained her advisor to back off. Invisibility offers protection when attention would make things worse. People surrounded by assholes master being present but unnoticed, speaking quietly, appearing boring, and maintaining blank expressions. Good bosses serve as human shields, protecting their team from difficult superiors and customers. Safety zones, from Tokyo's hotel crying rooms to bathrooms, provide spaces to prepare for, hide from, and recover from toxic encounters. When physical escape isn't possible, psychological techniques can shield you emotionally. West Point cadet Becky Margiotta demonstrated this by finding her screaming upperclassmen entertaining rather than taking their abuse personally. This reframing prevents personalization, believing others' negative behavior is about you. Stanford research showed students taught to view angry faces as someone just having a bad day were less affected by hostility. Another approach involves downplaying threats, seeing jerks as less harmful than they appear. The silver lining technique acknowledges poor treatment while focusing on positives. Journalists often remember harsh editors fondly because they valued the lessons and treasured rare praise. Michelle Obama's "When They Go Low, We Go High" demonstrates maintaining moral superiority by refusing to match your tormentor's behavior. Humor provides powerful protection, with research showing people experience less emotional harm when finding something funny in distressing situations. Giving tormentors humorous nicknames helps reduce pain. The "This Too Shall Pass" mantra uses mental time travel. Imagining how current problems will feel in the future diminishes immediate negative emotions. Fighting back against assholes requires three key resources: your relative power, documentation of abuse, and supportive allies. Less power means fewer options and greater risk. Solid evidence prevents disputes, while unity increases effectiveness. Studies show 58% of abusers are punished when employees band together versus only 27% when victims fight alone. Calm, rational confrontation works best with temporary or clueless assholes, trusted relationships, or when you hold power. The CEO, who was shocked when shown data proving he interrupted women but never men, exemplifies how those valuing civility often respond well. With difficult jerks, aggressive confrontation may be necessary. Research shows Machiavellian personalities become more exploitative toward cooperative people but retreat when facing uncooperative individuals. Porcupine power, glaring, raising your voice, making threats, can effectively deter those who interpret kindness as weakness. Strategic kindness sometimes works best, as with the software engineer who discovered chocolate calmed her short-tempered colleague during stressful releases. While revenge is tempting, it's often counterproductive. Research shows 68% of revenge efforts fail to stop abusive bosses and typically harms the avenger more than the target. Living by the no asshole rule requires concrete action. Follow Da Vinci's wisdom. It is easier to resist at the beginning than at the end. Chef Anthony Bourdain exemplified this by declining lucrative opportunities with difficult people, asking, "If the phone rings at 11 p.m., do you want it to be that asshole?" Break cycles of abuse through civility and support. Before permanently labeling someone an asshole, consider alternatives. Some people have a bad user interface but a good operating system. Try responding with civility, or use the Benjamin Franklin effect by asking for small favors. Research shows we tend to like people we help, creating virtuous cycles. Examine yourself critically. If you encounter assholes everywhere, you might be the problem. While over 50% of Americans report experiencing workplace bullying, less than 1% admit doing it. Apologize when you've behaved poorly and avoid enabling jerks by shielding them from consequences. Remember, no one ever says on their deathbed, "I wish I had been meaner." If you feel oppressed, create a survival plan and seek support. Preserving humanity isn't just about survival, it's about creating workplaces where everyone can thrive.